Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So I saw this story the other day, caught my attention, that my good friend Ted Kirsch is retiring. And I was like, no, say it isn't so. Evidently not seeking re-election as AFT Pennsylvania's president. I guess seven terms. I guess that's enough. Time to move on. Let somebody else do it. Go, I don't know, fishing maybe. I don't know. But that's why I've asked Ted to come on the program and explain himself. Ted, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you. By the way, I just heard you talking about the Labor History Society, and I served several terms as president of the Pennsylvania Labor History Society, one among my many activities over my long career.
No, they do fantastic work as well. I mean, look, yes. These labor history societies across the country, I think, do really important work of reminding us of the battles and the fights and what it took to build the most prosperous working class in history and what it took for us to the 8-hour day and safe working conditions and on down the line.
For sure. And Pennsylvania has a proud labor history record as well.
Yeah, I mean, the birthplace of many unions and the birthplace of many of the struggles and the, you know, the fights for that prosperous working class. But let's get to you. What's this I hear you're retiring?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, Rick, my friends that I've been close with know that I've said over the years, problem with so many labor leaders, they don't know when to leave. And I'm not joking when I say that.
I know.
And sometimes people say, oh, look at all these old people. It's time for them to go. And everybody forgets the long history and all the contributions that they have made during their working career. So this summer, in July, I'm going to be 80, and I think that's enough time for the next generation. I'm not really leaving. I still will be active. And, you know, what's really interesting, I've been getting a tremendous number of, you know, calls and congratulations. But during the course of the day, I think the things that meant most to me is that several of their labor leaders throughout the nation, it's not just here in Pennsylvania, thanked me for mentoring and thanking me to help them. And I think I could never sit still, you know me.
Yeah.
But I would like to kind of mentor younger folks who are in these positions where there's a lot to learn.
Yeah.
Not an easy job, believe me.
No, you need someone to take you under their wing and move you along. And I think of the people throughout the years that have been nice enough to reach out a hand and you know, give me some advice. And, you know, whether I took it or not was one thing or the other. But the willingness to share and to share the experiences. You know, I remember the first time that I had contact with you years ago. We were marching in the streets of Philadelphia for security guards to have the right to organize and bargain. And I remember at the time going, but you're the head of the teachers union. Why are you here? And it was because, look, it's that idea of an injury to one being an injury to all and everyone deserving to have that ability to be able to support themselves.
That's right. And so, you know, you've seen my resume. You know, I've done a lot of different things over the years, and I'm very proud of my accomplishments, and I'll just move into a different phase of my life. You know, I use this expression that, hey, I'm in the fourth quarter right now. I haven't gotten to the two-minute warning, but I'm in the fourth quarter, so, you know, it's time, and my family's pretty happy, and so we'll see. I haven't made up my mind, you know, exactly what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something. I can't sit still.
No, that's one of the things I know about you. But the good thing is this is that time that you get to go fishing, or if that's what you do, or whatever it is that is next. And I wanted to have you come on and, you know, talk about, you know, just the incredible, you know, victories we've had over the years, and, you know, also some of the defeats that were most important to you. And, you know, you think back through your life, you know, what was the one thing that you when you go back and you one thing that pops into your head when you think about successes that we've had, that you've had over the years?
Well, I think that when I think back of my career, what the labor movement has done for me personally, I mean, I had a collection in my office of pictures and people that I've met over the years. One of the ones that I'm most proud of is having met Martin Luther King. I've been to the White House for several presidents. I've been to the state house, different governors. I have been so lucky. I've had a wonderful life because of the labor movement. Yeah, it's been tough. There's some good days, some bad days, but I am just so thankful for all the experiences that I've had that makes it for a wonderful time for me. I'm really not unhappy. I'm glad that I made this decision. I'm taking off the summer at the Jersey Shore, and now figure out what am I going to do next.
There you go. You know, how about one of the biggest defeats? I mean, you think about, you know, it's been kind of an ebb and flow over your career. We're seeing the attacks happen now, especially with the most recent one with Janus. You've got this president who doesn't seem to find an attack point that he doesn't love to go after. I'm curious if there was a defeat that you go, that stung.
You know what? I've never thought of it in that way.
Really?
Yeah, we've had some tough times. I mean, I take what you talk about defeats. I've been on strike. One strike was 3 months long. Arrested a couple times, and I remember a friend of mine calling me after I was arrested, and now you're one of us. Now you're really one of us. I always thought of teachers, you know, in the early 70s, you know, not part of the labor movement, these eggheads, if you will. But I think that teachers have made a major impact in the labor movement throughout the nation. And what I'm happy about, I don't think of the bad things. I'm thinking about what's happening now.
Yeah,
the positives that are taking place, that the movement is not just in the urban areas and not just the big cities where traditionally unions have been strong, but in some of the states that you never thought about having strong unions, and the people rallying to fight. And the fight is not, and it's changed over the years, we're not fighting about wages as we used to. We're not talking about benefits as much. If you look at the issues, particularly in teachers, we're talking about the kids. We're talking about improving schools. We're talking about problems that everyone is facing, not just about ourselves, not a selfish viewpoint as a union and fighting just for our members. And I see that taking place, and it makes me really feel good about what's happening.
Yeah, so the attack that you think, the attack that we get from the right of, you know, unions just being a special interest, only caring about their members, is unjustified.
Well, and not only is it unjustified, but what I see is a change taking place, that there are people who are beginning to not just accept that point of view anymore. Yeah, there's those hardcore people, and I guess that's, what does he call it, his base? You know, it doesn't matter what you say. Their views are already shaped, and they're not going to change. But the thoughts are changing towards unions, and in particular the teachers' union. And I see that taking place, and it really makes me feel good.
Yeah, I mean, I see the militancy of, and I've been saying for years, you know, as the attacks have ramped up over the last 20 years, it's, for me, it's when the teachers who are, you know, heavily unionized sector, when our most articulate union members step forward and tell their stories and share the conditions, as we've seen in places like Oklahoma and Arizona and all across in West Virginia, you know, you see these people who have been struggling and are, you know, are saying, look, this can't continue. And you're right. It is about the learning conditions. We talked to a teacher on the program from Arizona who said, look, you know, I go to school 2 months before school starts to try and find enough chairs that have the feet on them so that the kids will have at least chairs that have feet on them. I'm going, really, that's an important thing? And she's like, absolutely, because not all the chairs do. And I'm going, what are we doing in this country?
You're right. And, you know, and my hometown is Philadelphia. And right now the union in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Federation of Teachers, fighting for the conditions in buildings, asbestos, lead paint, lack of air conditioning. These are physical conditions that certainly affect all of our students. It's not just our members.
Yeah.
It's our students as well. And they're fighting to make these changes take place. And that's a good thing.
No, you're right. But it's all stuff that, you know, should have been done 20, 25, 30 years ago that, you know, most of us thought were already gone.
I can still think of some of the schools when I used to visit with wooden staircases that are still there. I mean, in terms of getting in, ceilings falling in because of roofs that leak. It's just not healthy, and it affects the health of our kids. whether it's asthma or other allergies that kids have that nobody even is aware of. And we're putting them in these terrible conditions. And so the union is fighting to change it. And hopefully we'll be successful.
Yeah, I wanted to go back. You said that you'd one of the great moments was you got to meet Dr. King. What was that like? What is, you know, tell us about it.
Well, it goes back, I guess, 66. I think he passed, was assassinated in 67. He was part of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. That was his organization.
Right.
And he was coming to Philadelphia to speak at a rally. I guess it was the Spectrum at that time. And I was on the executive board at the union at the time. And they purchased some tickets. And so I was able to go to the rally. And then I knew a photographer who was there for taking pictures and called me and my wife. He says, come on, come follow me. So we follow him, and we went backstage. We got a chance to meet and talk to Dr. King. It was Aretha Franklin, Harry Belafonte.
Wow.
I mean, Nipsey Russell. And it was, I was just telling somebody the story the other day. My wife loved Harry Belafonte, so he's talking to her. She was speechless. She couldn't talk. Then he turns to me and he says, is there something wrong with your wife? I mean, but it was such an honor to be there and to meet people. And this was the beginning of the movement. And I remember the night that I was at home when I heard that Dr. King had been assassinated. I just sat there. And I can still remember the tears falling down my face because it was such a heartbreaking time of my life. I mean, I was still a young teacher at the time, but to have the opportunity to meet someone like that just is an unforgettable opportunity.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, yeah, those are some of those stories that you kind of forget sometimes that just how amazing that is.
Yeah, and I remember another story that I remember, if you'll pardon me, when a guy by the name of Bill Clinton. I had never heard of Bill Clinton. I didn't know who he was, governor, whatever. And he was invited to speak to the Philadelphia AFL-CIO. And so AFT called me and they said, listen, we'd like you to meet him at the back, the elevator, and bring him in and introduce him to the president, who was at TUI at the time, and take him around. So I meet him at the door in at the elevator in the back, and I bring him in. I start introducing him to folks. And we had a conversation about one of my dear friends, Senator Harris Wolford at the time, and we were talking, and then I introduced him, and I stepped aside, and he gives his speech, and he worked the crowd. You know, he's running for president, and this is his opportunity to meet labor leaders in Philadelphia. So when he was finished, I had to walk him back to the elevator, and I'll never forget, he picked up the conversation. As though and this was an hour and a half later, as though we were continuing to talk.
Yeah.
I was just so impressed.
I've heard that.
That was an amazing thing. It's so we never stopped talking. And I was fortunate to be invited to several activities at the White House with Clinton and also Obama. And my career as a labor leader has been wonderful. I've traveled all over the world. I've met labor leaders. I have friends throughout the world. My most recent trip, I spent a week as a guest of the government in Taiwan last spring, and it was a wonderful experience meeting labor leaders, teacher leaders. I have had an incredible life, so I'm really, really happy. I'm not sad. I'm not depressed. I'm just excited that I got to figure out now what comes next, but I'm not going away.
Yeah, well, I've got work for you. Whatever, if you need something to do, I've got tons of stuff.
I'm available.
But Ted, I wish you nothing but the best. You've always been a good friend, and I've always looked to you as someone that I trust and that I respect. And I wish you nothing but the best, man.
Well, I thank you, and I appreciate it.
Good stuff. Thank you so much, Ted. Ted Kirsch, president of AFTPA, for now. And look, I'm sure he will not go away. We will most certainly have him back, but. I like Ted a lot. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show.